Late, let's learn. We're up to towards the end of Mizmar Vav. Okay, Mizmar Vav, learning about Tachnun on Chanukah. Okay, Mizmar Vav. So yesterday we concluded the pasuk of Shuvah Hashem, Shuvah Hashem, Chalutz Nafshi, Chayshein Laman Chasdech Hakim, B'mav Zechrecha, B'shol. Let's do pasuk Vav. Vavav, two vavs. Vavav, ki ein bamaves zichrech. In death, your name is not remembered. Bishoil mi yodilach. There's an incredible parish here from the Minchas Orev. We'll get to it a little bit later on this pasuk, which is mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling. If you want to know what goes on after a person dies. Okay, we'll get that a little bit later. But right now, the pasuk b'shat over here in this pasuk vav is, ki ein bamaves ki im amus mehatzara haba shuv lo eska shimcha. Reading from the Mitzvot on page 47. If I die from the tzara, lo eska shum lo eska shimcha ki mihu hanoisin hada bakever. When a person is no longer alive, it's all over. There's no more opportunity, and this really is going to touch upon this. The Minchas Arev, I believe, pasuk vav. Page 46-47, Mizmar Vav, Pasuk Vav.
I'm reading the
Mitzudas David right now. The Mitzudas David on page 47 on the bottom. Ki ein bamav is zerach, there's no remembrance of you, Hashem, in death. What does this mean? He's just saying over here, Dvarim Pshutim, but it's always good to read it inside. It's still good to read it inside. Ki ekim almost, if I die mehat tzara, haba shuv lo eskar shimcha, if I die from the tzara, your name will not be remembered. Ki mihu hanoisein hoidah bakever, Haloi chai chai hu yoidech. A pasuk in Yeshaya. It's only the living. It's only the living that have an opportunity to praise you, Hashem. People, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of suicide in this world. And in fact, this past two years, they don't talk about this on the news. They don't want to talk about this. And lockdown has not been good for the American people. Or for anyone, the entire world, the world of eight, how many people live in this world? 7.5 billion people?
Yeah.
7.5 billion people, and most of the world, if not the entire world, has at some point in time been in lockdown, and the lack of social interaction has wreaked enormous havoc and strain upon people. And the statistics, if you go online and look at the statistics, people have taken their lives out of depression, it's just, the numbers are just astronomical. And people, the first thing, Rahman goes to a psychiatrist because there's an emergency situation. The first question they ask the patient, have you had thoughts of taking your life? That is the first question when they come in, they make an appointment, they come into the office at many points in time in the process of making an appointment and coming to see the doctor himself. First thing they ask, do you have thoughts of taking your life? And if the patient says yes, boy, you're seeing for a surprise. You're seeing for a surprise. It's amazing that that's like every single step of the way, because unfortunately, I've had a friend that were partially involved, and even more than once with someone else, and every step of the way, the first question is this question.
So what do they do if the person says yes?
They lock him up. They put him in a guarded, under observation for a significant period of time. And that could be in the law. Person says yes, boy, he's not going anywhere for a long time. If he says no, then who knows? That's also,
Just if you haven't been to Africa recently or traveled outside the States.
They don't ask that question. Look, I went to the dentist. How many questions you have to answer? Have you done this? So many questions. You're a dentist, right? You have those forms. Now it's all by computer. Now they text it to you. You do it in the leisure of your own. Not everywhere, but most places.
You do it online.
You sign in. Everything is online. But a psychiatrist, forget it. So what is the argument? What is the argument? Tell a person, don't do it. Don't take your life. Don't harm yourself. And if you're a religious person, okay, if not everyone is religious, obviously, but a religious person, is this pasuk over here. This is the response to a religious person that does have within him a degree. Just because a person wears a black hat and a white shirt doesn't mean he's religious. Just as all, you know, just means he, that's, you know, that's part of the social pressure of dressing the part. But a person, but a person really has in him a true spark, a true spark of Yirat Shamayim. So just because you have Yirat Shamayim doesn't mean you're not suicidal. Doesn't mean that it, you know, mental health is mental health.
People reach the end of the line. Sometimes.
You know, yeah. Well, I mean, people do that. That's just a natural. Whether it can be clinical, most of the time it's clinical, not necessarily clinical. Whether it's just busha, whether it's just stam depression. And people have these thoughts all the time. And what is the response to a person who is a religious person? It's this pasuk. The pasuk over here is ki ein v'amaves zichrecha b'sho'ol mi yodelach. In death, there is a person does not have the opportunity to praise Hashem. To
we say that in the Hallel every day. Lo ha'meisim yahalelu.
Lo ha'meisim yahalelu. V'lo kol yordei duma. Exactly. So here we say this every day because this is Tachlin, twice a day. It's kedai twice a day to read this. People who are. People who have these thoughts,
and these are. We don't say this, and we'll say it open.
Oh, you're saying very good. They made it up. They made it up, and you know, it's unfortunate. We don't reflect upon this. Is that like, what's the rush? I remember very clearly when I was a child. I remember there was a person that was actually, I don't think he was seriously suicidal, but he was definitely clinically depressed, very and like he was talking these things, and there was a person. It was very interesting how people have the ability to take people out of this. You don't go to a doctor, oh, they're serious, put on the white gloves. I don't know why you need white gloves. You're a psychiatrist, right? And you, no, this person, he just made jokes. The person was basically treating the patient with jokes. Just saying, you want to go? What's the rush? Like, what's the rush? It was just like one joke after another. And it worked. Humor is an incredible tool when you know how to use it. Like I told you,
Reb Miller used to say that when people used to say they're depressed, they're thinking of committing suicide. He says, yeah, "No hurry, you know. There's
no rush. No rush. You'll end up.
Basically, you think most people who talk about suicide are not the ones who do it, because the ones who are really thinking about it,
they would have done it already.
They do it.
They would have done it already.
They do it.
They don't have Shilas.
That's why I said it was one of these a few years ago when there was one girl they found by the Harlem River over there. They had that crime. So I asked my daughter-in-law if she was one of her papers, because I knew where she was working. She didn't deal with her directly, but she oversees all the other people. So she said yes, and she talked about it for a few years. But they assume it's exactly that she talked about it so much that she's never going to do it.
Right.
Because either you're going to do it or you don't.
Exactly. Right, right.
But she fooled them all. In the end, she did it.
She really fooled them. Right. Because that's the very thing he said. Rabbi Mersky is saying very true. Because people who talk, if you're really serious, they would have done it. What are you talking about? Oh, exactly. Seeking attention. Exactly, exactly. So but over here, this is an incredible part. This is an idea that Chazal have tried to embed upon our minds. That life can be very depressing. It really can. And you can't second judge. You can't judge a person. You don't know what a person is going through. What do they know? What was? And it's very, very painful. But okay, this pasuk here says, "Mi yodelach ein b'mavis zichrecha." A person loses these opportunities. What is the primary opportunity? So it's interesting. You would think that you can't learn Torah anymore. You can't do mitzvahs. Interesting. It doesn't say that. It says in the pasuk that Rabbi Mordechai mentioned, and the pasuk over here, ki ein b'mavis zichrecha. It doesn't talk about Torah mitzvahs. It talks about the ability to praise Hashem, to give Hashem hoida. This concept of choydo is something thanking Hashem. Thank you, the very popular song, right? Thank you, Hashem. And that cannot be done in a state of b'shol mi yodelach. Okay, let's go. Now let's review Rashi. Is there Rashi on this pasuk? No, there is not. Okay, next pasuk. We'll come back to some of these things in a few months when we finish with the parak verse. We'll come back to discuss a couple of things. Yogati be'anchasi. David Hamelach says, Yogati, I'm tired. I'm worn out, the anchasi in my anguish, in my sorrow. Pain, this is a very medical principle, that pain makes you tired. A person, Rachmana Litzlan, he's in pain. He's sitting, you know, he comes and he fakes everyone out. He comes, he does his job, whether he's a teacher, whether he's a plumber, whether he's a lawyer, and he comes into work, but he's really in a lot of pain. Pain, it tires the person. It just like for every hour that a person's in pain, it's like he's like not in pain for 3-4 hours. It just wearies you out. You're gati, I'm worn out, b'anchasi, in my sorrow, in my agony. Ascha v'chol laila mitasi. This is a very scary pasuk. I make wet. Lashon of ascha, lashon of the swim. There is so much fluid in my bed that my bed is almost like I'm swimming. I'm swimming in my bed. Let's see the mitzvah stuff. Let's see one more.
Drenched in tears?
No, that's the next part. That's the next part. Bidimasi, in tears, arsi, my bed. Arsi is a bed. I'm soiled. It's filthy dirty. Okay, so let's see over here in the mitzvah stuff. Pasuk Zayin. Yogati naasesi oyef. I have become tired. V'yogea. I am tired and yogea.
Weary,
b'mash, ani misaneach b'choleis, I moan and groan at every moment. Asche, what's the word asche? Ani me shit, es mitasi, I swim. I cause my bed to swim, to float. B'nei habichi, in the liquid that comes from tears, kadavar has shot, al p'nei hamam, something that floats. There's so much fluid in my bed, it's as if I'm swimming, I'm floating in the water. Bidimasi, ani matich umartiv arsi. So here he says another interesting word. Matich, I think it usually means to melt, to dissolve. Umartiv means to wet, to make moist. Arsi, my bed. Word arsi is a word for a bed. Usually the word eris is like a child's bed, a baby, a crib, a small morning. It's a bed of a. In Eres, look at Rashi, Mitzu the Sion, Mitasi Kmoy Eres, Yitzu'oi. The bed of, I'm not even sure what that word means, Yitzu'oi, my enemies? I forgot what that means, I don't know. Let's go further. Arsi b'demois, Einai, V'chofel hadava b'miloi shonis, the Mitzu the Sion's question, why is there repetition? There are two different expressions over here. First it says over here that I'm swimming. Asche b'cholaylo mitasi, Asche, I cause to float. Okay, asche is I'm floating in liquid. Every single night in my bed, I have released an enormous amount of tears where it's almost like a water bed, exactly. Where my bed, it's as if my bed is floating in water. My mattress is floating in water due to the abundance of tears. And then he repeats himself. Okay, there is poetic repetition. It is bidimasi, with my tears, arsi, amse, I've made my bed dirty. Amse, soiled. Or lashon of mas, which means to melt. So he really gives two different translations for this word. Meloshon hamosa means to behatacha, melting. Melting and dissolving. My bed is dissolving is dissolving in liquid. Okay, so that's the mitzudos davu. We'll come back a little bit more. Let's see what Rashi in this pasuk Zayin Rashi. Ascha b'cholayla mitasi l'shoyin sichi u'mo'is v'hoysa nivlosam kasucha mimo'is, it's l'shoyin filth mimo'is ani mitasi b'dimo'is, I've made my bed disgusting with tears. And then he quotes Menachem chibroi, Menachem a grammarian, he learns this word to mean, he connects it, im kasher yifor reis ha socher lischos. It means to swim. A person who is a swimmer, he extends his hands.
Spread their
hands. Yifor reis. Yifor reis means to spread out. A swimmer spreads out his hands when he swims. Yifareis, to extend, ha soche, the swimmer, lischos, his hands in his attempt to swim, to proceed swimming. V'im mei sochu, water that meisachu means water that you swim in, a swimming pool. Basically, the word meisachu, this refers to the trickle that's going to come out of the Kodesh HaKodashim. The Kodesh HaKodashim is going to be a little trickle that's come and it's going to come out and make a left. And then it's going to go outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside into the Harbayis, and down to Yerushalayim. And this little trickle of water that comes out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, it's going to start out like the thickness of the antennae of a locust, of some little creature. And then as it continues to go, it's going to get larger, 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 larger. And it's going to come to a point where it's going to be the width of water, which you can no longer walk through. The only way you can get from one side to the other will be through swimming. You're going to have to swim in order to go and cross this body of water. And when the thickness, the width of this thing that starts out originally as a little tiny trickle, when it widens to the point where you need to swim, it's called Mei Sahu. It's water that you need to swim in. Okay, and then therefore it comes out according to the Rashi. Rashi is giving us a different interpretation than the Tzudas Tavit. It means filth. He gives us two interpretations. The first interpretation is that my eyes have released so much water where my bed is filthy dirty. And he repeats it twice according to Rashi. First it says, Asche, I've made it disgusting, my bed, every single night. And then he repeats himself, Bidimasi Arsi, my bed, Amse, I have caused it to almost melt. Hamasa is to melt in the filth, in the abundance of tears. There is repetition. According to Rashi's second interpretation from Menachem, it's the way the Mitzudas Tavit explained. Okay, it's as the Mitzudas Tavit explained. It means Ascha means Sichi Umaois. We interchange the Samach with the letter Sin. The word that we're more familiar with would be with a samach. Sechi. Sechi means disgust. Umaos. And really the word maos is the next end of the pasuk where it says amse, according to one interpretation. But according to the first interpretation, the word we interchange the sin with the samach. Sechi. I have made my bed filthy dirty with my tears. And according to Rashi's second interpretation, it means there are so many tears on my bed, it's as if I'm swimming. I'm floating in the tears. This parallels what it says in Yirmiyah, and it's often cited in the Kinois and other parts of our liturgy on Tisha B'Av, of Eini Eini Yerdu Mayim, Mi Yitein Roshi Mayim. If only my whole head was a container of water, of liquid, where the tears would continuously flow. Could you imagine if you were to take a bucket of water and just spill it on your bed? Obviously, the whole bed would be soaking wet. So Yirmiyah says, "Eini eini yerdu mayim, mi yitein reishi mayim." I have a need to cry and mourn and express tzar to such a degree. Problem is, I don't have enough tears. The tears don't come out. And if only my whole head was one continuous flow, stream of water, I would be able to express myself the way I need to do so. Now that pasuk in and of itself is a very difficult pasuk, but it ties in over here very much to this idea as well. What does it mean there? Mi yitein reishi mayim. When a person has a need to mourn, he needs to cry. By crying, you are releasing that tension, that feeling. And if a person can't cry, it's all pent up. It's no good. You have not been given the opportunity to release that tsar. A person needs to cry in order to let the tsar come out. And if a person needs to cry but doesn't have the ability to cry, why not? Because he's exhausted or he just doesn't have enough tears. The body cannot keep up with what his needs. He needs Dr. Fastag, the computer is not working. I'm going to turn on the video and during the break. There's no video. I'll put on the video later on. When a person needs to cry, the crying is therapeutic. But part of the therapy is for the tears to be released. If there are no tears, then the therapy is not going to work. If the tragedy is so great there is a need for an enormous amount of crying in order to be successful in this therapy called crying. And if there are not enough tears, the body cannot supply enough tears, then the person will not have the therapy that he needs. So Yirmiyah says that I have here a tzara, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, I'm witnessing the Churban of Klal Yisrael, and the amount of mourning that I need, the therapy, like, you know, people, they tell me, they have, I have a friend who goes for therapy. He goes for therapy, he had a knee replacement, and he goes for therapy, and the therapy doesn't really, it helps him very, very little, but it does something, and it's going very, very slow. And the insurance says you're only gonna get 16 sessions. Mm-hmm. We're only paying for 16 sessions, and now you're at number 16, no more. And he's very upset because he needs the sessions. He needs another 16 sessions. But the insurance company says, ad kan, no more. No more therapy if you were not paying for therapy. He needs the therapy. A person has a tzar, rachman ul-tzlan, he needs to cry. The crying is therapeutic. Part of crying is tears. Who makes those tears? The body makes the tears. But the body can only make that many tears in a given period of time. The person needs the therapy and he needs the tears, and the body cannot keep up with what he needs, then the person's going to be very frustrated. Yirmiyah says, I need more tears. Mi yitein roish shimayim. The amount of tears that I need for a successful therapy of crying is my entire head should be just liquid. And I can't do that. And obviously, that's going to cause me a tsar. It's a very deep idea. I will never be able to get over the tragedy. Therapy is still supposed to cure the person. Through the therapy, okay, there was a tragedy. I've dealt with it. I've gone for professional therapy, I'm cured. And now let's move on. Yirmiyah says, Klal Yisrael will never be able to move on because Hashem is not paying, the insurance is not paying for the therapy anymore. He's only going to pay therapy for 16 sessions, we need 1,000 sessions. And what is the mashal? Because the sessions are the tears. The therapy is tears. The tears help a person get out the pain. But the amount of tears that we need to get out the pain, we don't have. The body cannot supply that shi'ur. And therefore, we're going to be stuck with the trauma of what has happened pent up in us without being able to release the tzar. So this whole idea that we say on Tisha B'Av, we say really every single day in Tachanun. Dovra Melch says it. Yogati, I'm exhausted be'an chosi. And he says it twice, he repeats himself. Aschem, according to Rashi's first interpretation, you make believe the sin is a samach, sechi, I soil, b'chol laila, every single night, me tossi my bed. Rashi adds in, what do I soil my bed with? Tears. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. Doesn't say that. We're making that assumption. And then the pasuk, according to Rashi's first interpretation, repeats itself. Here it does say the word tears, the second expression. Bidimasi, with my tears, arsi, my bed, amse, I make disgusting, I soil. Bidimasi, look over here, alachlach, I make wet. I mean, alachlach, I make wet, the artiv, I moisten, kimomayim, I wetten my bed with tears. So the pasuk repeats itself twice.
It's
the first.
Lachlach means very wet.
Very wet. Amseh means there's so much liquid, it melts. The amount of liquid is an enormous that the bed can actually dissolve from the wetness. So notice here we have two words for a bed. First word, mitosi, a mita, and the second word for a bed is an eris. Two different words. By Oig Melech HaBashrei. Arso eris barzel. So you have the word, this word is poetic repetition. We have two words to describe a bed. And we have two words to describe what the tears are accomplishing. Either it's gonna dirty the bed, and it's gonna make the bed soaking wet. Two things. Now, truthfully speaking, does tears really make something filthy? Is that really true? Tears has a lot of salt content in tears. I don't know. You know, it's interesting over here. The pasuk says very clearly that.
I would think if you're in this state, you wake up in a sweat. I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Because that's like that's different. That's a sweat. That's a different interpretation.
You really like you dream. You have a nightmare sometimes. You wake up in a sweat.
Or if you're in the temperature of the room, you know, sometimes
you
realize
some physical problems. You get up in a sweat.
But it seems over here from Rashi, it seems that over here the wetness is not the sweat. So that's what I would think. It's the tears. But it doesn't say the word tears. The first part of the pasuk does not say the word tears. It says, Yogati b'anchasi ascheh, I soil b'cholayla mitasi my bed. If not for Rashi and the Mitzudos, I would assume, like what Rabbi Yevsky just said, is you wake up in a sweat. Your body. Person is sick, there's sweat. The body is producing zeah.
Right.
That's the second part of the pasuk.
Yeah,
that's a different expression. So Rashi and the Mitzudas are telling us, no, the word bidimotsi goes both ways. It goes backwards and forwards, and the first part of the pasuk is also talking about tears.
Right.
And then it's come to teach us this principle that tears is something which is filthy dirty. Why would you say tears are dirty? There's nothing more beautiful than tears. Isn't that really, I mean, talking about tears for the right reason. Tears, the shari demois. The share demois loy min alu. This I think a mice with the Belzer Rebbe, the previous in Belz, pre-war, they built a magnificent. They built a new Beis Medrash there before they built the Beis Hamikdash over here in Eretz Yisrael. But it was Rosh Hashanah. I believe it was Belz. It was Rosh Hashanah. It's a famous story. And they weren't ready yet. They were not ready to move in. They were pretty much ready, but the Ezra's notion was not yet complete. Did not yet pass inspection. But the Beis Medrash already was good enough, and they desperately needed to move into a larger facility for the Hasidim. The Ezra's notion was not yet up to standard, up to par, and it was too dangerous for them to. So the Hasidim said, for sure, we'll move in. So the women knew. The women, someone will go blow shofar for them. They'll find another place to daven. So the Belzer Rebbe says, no, we're not davening. A Beis Medrash needs the Share Demois. The Share Demois loin and now. The women have a tendency to cry. They know how to cry. And men, unfortunately, they're very stiff. They don't cry so well. And the Share Demois loin and now. The men cannot daven unless there's an Ezra's Noshim with women davening there as well. Isn't that amazing? Chassid Shavart. The same Chassidim who, you know, they're very machmed on Tairuvus. The same Chassidim, he says, you're not going to daven in the Beis Medrash unless there's an Ezra's Noshim. There's no such thing. And this made a very groshim on me. You know, Ad Kadei Kach, because in Chaim Berlin, they divided up the Corona last year. They broke up the Beis Medrash into two minyan for the Yom Neron.
Right.
For the Yom Neron, they split. And now, and ups and downs, and now it's a permanent split. Now, I mean, you know, the Shiva's grown, so now even this year, when theoretically, they were not, that was not really their, you know, whatever, safety is safety, of course.
Right.
Anyway, it's Sakana. No matter what you're gonna do, it's Sakana. But because it's just too much already, so they continue to split up into the opposite. And downstairs, on one of the days, they didn't make this note, Ezra's Noshim downstairs. In the second minyan, which has probably about 500-600 people,
mm-hmm.
something like that, mm-hmm. there is no Ezra's Noshim. There's no ladies section. The second day they did it, when Nachum Arya for Davids, they make a little teeny Ezra's Noshim for his wife, for his sister, maybe a few other people come, teeny little ladies section. But the other day, when a beautiful woman Davids, I don't think there's Noshim. No Ezra's Noshim.
There's a famous story that they said, Rebbe, what should we do with the extra bricks?
Yeah.
He says, you know, close up the women's section.
Close up the women's section. So, you know, it really bothers me. I found it very disturbing because this idea from the Belzer Rebbe makes a roshim. It made a roshim.
They went upstairs. It's not that they didn't. They went upstairs. There was enough room for the women.
Right. But I'm saying in this room, when the men are davening, the bells of Rebbe said that your tefillos of being accepted in Shemayim has to a degree channels through the women. The women have a koyach of tefillah that men do not have. That's the nature of a woman. A woman is much more emotional. And when the women are in the same room as the men and the women are davening, the tefillos of the men are different. I know personally, this is more of a practical reason. I don't think this is more of a spiritual reason, but I know you daven a hashkam minyan for many years, a couple of years, and it was 7 o'clock. What time do we daven? 7 o'clock? I think you daven 7 o'clock on Shabbos morning, whatever, no big deal, 7 o'clock. And how many people came? 15 men came, 15 men, 20 men, 10 men, you know, between 10 and 20 people, 20, 10 men. And look, in a little bit special, there's a woman section there, but 90% of the time women didn't come. Mm-hmm. There were no women. 7 o'clock Shabbos morning. And a lot of the men, they joked around. They were like, a lot of time they were like jokers. Mm-hmm. It was a nice minion, it was okay. It was a nice minion, nothing, it was okay. And the men joked around. Once in a while, a woman came. The wife of one of the people. She came with her husband. And when she came, she sat in the little section, and there's a mechitza, a nice mechitza, but with the mechitza, you know, you can tell there's a woman there. It was a different davening. It was a totally different davening. The men didn't joke around. Why not? It's like they felt someone's watching them. It's a very fascinating psychological. They really like there's a woman there. Who is this woman? It doesn't make a difference who this woman is. There's a woman there. All of a sudden, the men behaved. They behaved for 2 hours. They didn't joke around. There's a woman there. So what? So what? There's a woman there. What difference does it make with the woman there? It's a very interesting phenomenon that when there's a ladies section, both spiritually, the koyach of tefillah is different, and also just the fact that there are noshim in the base akneses, it's a different type of tefillah. How do we get into this? How do we get into this?
Tears.
What? The tears, the shari dimos. And I'll tell you another very fascinating story. This goes back 2-3 years ago. Is Avraham Shur. Avraham Shur knows Avraham Shur is over here in the neighborhood. So he sent out. He sent a message to his mispalim that in Chodesh Elul, especially during Yimei Haslichos, for Shachris during the week, the Ezras Noshim is open, and he encourages any woman who can come to shul during the week for Shachris. Mm-hmm. Now he's an extremist,
yeah.
fundamentalist, and yet he sent out this message. He encourages the women to come. So I know someone in my block who they dive in there, and the wife, she's a very busy woman. And she went. She went. She told me that how old is this woman? She has to be in her 60s at least, maybe even 70s. And she said to me, I couldn't but not believe what she told me. She says to me, I was flabbergasted, my jaw dropped, when after Shmone Esrei, I peeked out of the mechitza and I saw all of the men fall tachnu. We're living right now. They all fell tachnu. And it was quiet. And I looked, and all the men had their hands on the table saying, Tachna. I never saw something so beautiful, so spiritual, so uplifting. And I'm sitting there in a daze, like, really? I said to her, do you know how much Hanna men have? They clap. Yiskadalvi, no tachma today. I says they say that there's no tsar in this world like childbirth, or achmanos like kidney stones. Zelu mazed, there's no greater hanor in life on a Monday, Thursday, when you think you're gonna say tachman, and all of a sudden the Gabbai gives a clap, no tachman today. Yiskadalvi, yiskadash. And such Musar Haskell, what she said, says that she saw the time, she never hold herself. I said, what? I never, this is a Haredi woman. A woman, a regular Haredi woman who has children learning in Lakewood, and you know, the whole nine yards. Regular woman. She never, her life, saw men in the shul. She's got probably 70 years old, never saw men fall tachma, her whole life. This is the first time in her whole life she probably goes every single Shabbos, this woman. But during the week, she doesn't go, whatever, she doesn't go. Rabbi Shur invited the women to come, Davin Shachris. Why did he do that? And a lot of people, everyone was talking, this is like 3 years ago, all the other, is there a shul here in Flatbush when there's a ladies section that's open? Most shuls are interesting. Most shuls, there's no ladies section. Think about it, even in this shul. They have here the mechitzas. How often do they put up the mechitzas outside over here, even in this shul? This is a young Israel. How often do they sell the mechitzas? Here, there's no need for Shabbos.
West Side, that's
what?
I've seen it at the Young Israel when
There's a women's section near.
Every day they come?
Every
day? Yeah.
In Pinhead, you have Ashkoma Minyan on Shabbos, probably 40 women.
Okay. I'm talking about the weekday. I'm not talking about Shabbos.
Friday night was a few.
Shabbos is not a chiyuv. Talk about during the weekday. During the weekday, how many shuls do you know? Most shuls, they take down the mechitza during the weekend. The men daven there. They're all different rooms. How many shuls are there really that they really do the weekday? During the weekday in this community, I'm not again talking about flavish.
Very,
very rare. So I know in the more modern shuls, the women they say kaddish. Some of the women they want to come to say kaddish.
Yeah.
Okay. So because they hey, but on a regular basis, when the women they say kaddish, the women that I remember would say come say kaddish in Israel. So once the year was over, they didn't come anymore. Finished. They didn't come back. They didn't come back.
Men like that.
They come. They call. They come for the yard. They come for the yard side. Okay. By the more Haredi, nothing they're talking about. Sorry. And by oh, thank you. And by the more and by the Haredi crowds. By the Haredi crowds, forget about it. There's no such thing unless there's a bris, okay? Unless there's a bris or something like that. But what was Rabbi Shore thinking? He said Chodesh Elul, he wants very much that the Noshim should come. Shachris is unbelievable. And you know something is, I have no doubt. I wasn't there. I have no doubt that it was a very different davening. When you're davening during the weekday. And on the other side of the mechitza, it's not, it doesn't have a big shul.
It's a men's club.
What? That's how we look at it. We look at the shul as a men's club, but it's not really a men's club. It's supposed to really be a makam kaddish. So unfortunately, it turns into a men's club. Good and bad, you know, there's good also, but it's not so bad it's a men's club. What's so terrible? But a shul is a shul. And the chodesh elul, I can't imagine not. After that experience of the young Yisrael, davening, hashkami, and women come, and I see mamish, the poil. I see in front of me that a world of a difference. When women come and women do not come, it creates a whole different environment, a whole different environment. Then it's a whole different davening. The Belzer Rav said that the Ezras Nashim, he called it the Sharei Demois, the gates of tears. And the Sharei Demois loy min alu. And it's very, you know, it's very interesting. And here you talk about David HaMelech, the koyach of crying. Yogati b'yanchasi ascha b'cholai lo b'tasi b'dimasi arsi amseh. My bed, I melt. It melts in my tears. There's a koyach of the most. The most is not something we take lightly. Next pasuk es. Oshisha. What does it mean, the word oshisha? It took me a long time going to pronounce that word.
Yeah.
Oshisha. It's a shvono. After the ayin has a komatz gadol. There's a komatz gadol, komatz katan, komatz gadol. How do you know it's komatz gadol? Because there's a mesek. There's a mesek right next to the komatz, underneath the ayin, which means that this is a full syllable. The syllable is fully independent. Oh, you're done. So now when you start the next letter, the shin, it's as if the shin is in the beginning. It's no. It's not noch. It's as if it's the beginning of a word. O, she, sho. And the emphasis is on there's a double emphasis. Now, by the way, just some grammar, whenever you see this word, o, she, sho, there are two letters which get emphasis. There's the ayin, because the ayin has a mesek, and there is the second shin, because the second shin has the ta'amei hamikra, the musical notes. So which one gets, you can't give them both the same, or maybe you should say, oh, shesha. Do you give both the same? So the rule of grammar is, the Tamei HaMikra always win. The Tamei HaMikra carry more weight than a mesek. Whenever you have a mesek, that's where you give it emphasis. You give it emphasis. Like Mila El Milara, where did it? However, the Tamei HaMikra overpowers a mesek, but you have to give a secondary emphasis to the mesek. So this word, look at all the possibilities. Make believe there was only a mesek under the ayin, and there was no Tamei HaMikra altogether. Then it would be oshesha. You put a very strong emphasis on that oshesha. Let's say you'd only have the Tamei HaMikra and you would not have a mesek underneath the ayin. It would be oshesha, oshesha. You completely de-emphasize the ayin in the first shin. But now that you have the Tamei HaMikra, a Munach underneath the second shin, and you have a Meseg underneath the Ayin, you give them both emphasis, but you give more to the Tamei HaMikra. So it's O Shesha. O Shesha. I maybe give too much. O Shesha. You have to practice a lot. O Shesha. You have to give the Ayin its emphasis, and you have to give the Shin emphasis. Okay, there's another important point, the comments.
Which one is the mikro?
What do you mean the mikro? Pasaches, pasaches.
The ayin or the shin?
The shin gets the majority.
So that shin is the one that's the...
The shin, whenever you have truck. The truck, tire maker, the truck always gets the most. The truck gets the most, but if you have
it makes the word. You have the most, the famous example is always Hishavoli and Hishavoli. It's, you know, in Toldos and Raichi, you have... You say it differently.
Ba'a.
No, but here it's he shoveli and he shoveli because the trap changes
the meaning.
The word. Yeah.
All right, so it's very important where you give the correct emphasis. Now another important grammar rule
so
is
or
correct.
Or shishor,
the ayin also ayin gets also emphasis, but the majority, position. The main emphasis is wherever the tamei hamikra. That is the main emphasis. Another important point is you have a comments. 90% of the time, I don't know the rules, but 90% of the time when you have a komatz followed by a shva, like in this case, the ayin is o, the shin is, there's a two dots underneath the shin, it's usually a shva noch. Which means that when you do the shva, it's as if you're starting all over a beginning of the word. A komatz is usually what's called a tenua gedoila, a major expression, a major sound, a major syllable. It's usually a major. Whenever it's major, it means it's almost like, it's like complete. And thus, the next syllable is new, it's fresh. So you have to start from the very beginning. So it would then be aw. It's a tenua gedoila. You completely you give the ayin the full glory. You give it the limelight. Oh, now we have to start all over with the shin. So the shin now is what's called a shiva no. No means you're starting fresh. Shisha. It's a shiva no shiva no. However, there are times where a komatz is what's called a komatz koton, which means it's a minor syllable. And then, when it's followed by a shva, they go together. The shva is called a shva noch. It would then be osh sha. It's not, so that would be wrong. In this case, that would be wrong. It would be osh. If it were to be a tenua kitana, it would be osh sha. The shin would be together with the ayin. The shin would be what's called a shva noch. Osh. Sure. How do you know this is easy? Here you don't have to memorize any rules. The reason why in this case you need not memorize any rules in this case to determine if it's a shavon, a ketuva ketana, ketuva gedola, is because the ayin has next to it a meseg. Has that little line. That little line is called a meseg, and that little meseg automatically upgrades it under every single condition into a ketuva gedola, which forces the next syllable, the shin, to be a shva no. So here it's going to be a, and the shin's going to be she sha. Okay, enough of the word. This is a very hard word. This word I remember when I was years ago to learn how to read. This is a very hard word to know how to read this word. After this word, the one that we didn't spend time on, the word havos. We forgot to spend time on that. The word havos, we had a couple, that's also hard word too. Hey, vav, so.
But this happens in every case. Holecha, kofza, always.
You have to know when it's a tenua gedoila, when it's a tenua kitana. Most of the time, a komatz is a tenua gedoila. Very rare, but not so often is a tenua kitana. In the very good chumashim, and the good the tikun koreim, they have a special symbol. They differentiate between a komatz Godol and a komatz katan. They have a different symbol. Just like in the good siddurim, they have the dots, the shva. They have different dots for a shva no and a shva noch. They have different dots. Like in the Tikkun Simonim, every time it's a Shvona, they have square dots, two square dots. Whenever it's a Shvonoch, they have two round dots. And a Komatz, a regular Komatz, is like the way we have it here. And a Komatz Koton is very long. They make it very, very long. The bottom part, they make it very long. It's in there. Every Siddur has their own technique.
One of my sons, they don't let him daven Fariyomer because he pronounces the words as grammatically correct, because the Siddur has some mistakes. So I asked him, well, why they never ask him to daven by Moshe Dov. He said they won't let him over to the Yomer because he says some words differently and they don't like it.
He says it correct. I know someone who actually sat down and he taught a Rosh Yeshiva. You know, every night he goes to a wedding, a certain Rosh Yeshiva, he goes to a wedding every single night. And now he doesn't, not now, but he used to go to a wedding literally every night. And he would either be with the Masada Kedushin or he would get a bracha every single night. And there was a bacha in the yeshiva that was embarrassed that the Rosh Yeshiva, he doesn't know how to read. He may be a goyin in Torah and in Ah, but no one ever taught him.
He was in the first grade for 2 minutes. That's why.
So he actually told him in a very nice way, you know, you don't say the word. And he was very, tell me, teach me. Ilan Beni Rabeni. And he actually sat down with him and he taught him how to say the way Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech. He taught Mamish Al Dichupa V'Kidushin. He taught him, and since then, flawless. Flawless.
Pronounce words wrong, and they send the Siddur correctly, but they still pronounce.
They still, because they don't know. They don't know.
The Sefer Chasidah mentions two words like that. I mean, I came across that. I told you. People say hell more, you know, hell more. They don't mishiat zekecha. Hell more. He says hell more means you're asking a question. It's hell more. Don't say hell more, please.
Some of the siddurim have. Some still do have hell more.
I'm just saying. I'm my cousin, my shul. I'm saying. I say it's hell more.
But some siddurim do have. I think some do have hell more. I think there are some siddurim.
He says it's a terrible
mistake. Okay.
Because he's doubting what
I don't know. One word we had here a few days ago, I won't be actually talking about the word on page 42. This is a very hard to get confused with. Page 42, Pasuk Yud. Ki ein befihu nechoyna kirbam havos. So many people get very confused with that word. Why there are two vavs? There are two vavs. And the first one has a dot in it.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. How do you... People who don't know.
They say
ha-vu-vos. Ha-vu-vos. Is that the way you say it? So that's not the way you say it. It's ha-vos. Ha-vos. In other words, yeah. How would you know if you're not a Jewish? The second vav is a cholam for the first vav.
Mm-hmm.
The first vav, was the second vav, is just pure vowel. Okay, yeah, let's say you have the word matzos. Okay, the word matzos.
Right.
So you can write the word matzos with a vav or without a vav.
Right.
It says in the Torah, sometimes it says the word matzos with a vav, sometimes.
It's mitzvos.
Right. That's the day.
Kavod. Okay, the word honor. Kavod. You can spell kavod with a vav, without a vav. So when you do have a vav, the vav is nothing. The vav is nothing but a vowel. The vav has no meaning in the word kavod. Chaf veiz dalet. So many times in the Torah it's spelled without a vav. Rarely it's spelled with a vav. Sukkos, same thing, sukkos. When you have the vav is only there as a vowel. It's very unusual because the Torah, there are no vowels. The Torah doesn't have vowels. But this vav is an exception. The vav is there to serve, to tell you that it should be matzos. The tzadi, the way you pronounce the tzadi, is not matzas, not matzus, not matzes, it's matzos. Tzos. The vav is there for one reason only, to tell you that the way you pronounce the tzadi is a cholam, matzos. Nothing more than that. And the vav, there's no pronunciation for that vav. The vav is not, you're not going to pronounce the vav. So why then is there vav altogether? The whole Torah, there are no dots in the Torah. So why would the Torah put a vav there? That's how it is. For some reason, there is a vav.
The nekudos were only put down by the Gaonim. They didn't exist
until
the way they looked.
It's all baal peh. But the vav is an exception. So here in this word havos and pasuk yud, that's one of the exceptions. It says over there the second vav is a vowel for the first vav. So therefore, there's only really one vav. And the second vav is like the same type of vav as the word kavod and as the word matzos and sukkos. It's just there to tell you that first vav, the way you pronounce that first vav is, it's a cholam. Don't pronounce it havas. Don't pronounce it havus. Don't pronounce it haves. But the way you pronounce the first vav is an actual sound. But that sound can be many ways. The way you pronounce that sound is vav. Ha. Well, it's Dr. Fruchter. Wow, show my
love. It's Friday, too, you are.
Oh, welcome. Baruch is
Mishra.
Good to see you.
The word that confuses most people is Edo Sefer, because four times in Novi and Nach, it's Edo Sefer, four times. It's Edo Sefer. But it looks the same. But four times it is Edo Sefer, so you only know it because that's the Messiah. I mean, that's the way we read it. You have to know.
Edo Sefer.
Edo Sefer Nememov is Edo Sefer, but four times it's Edo Sefer.
That's how you pronounce it?
Yeah, four times in Novi, it's Edo Sefer.
Edo Sefer.
Four times.
One and a half Torahs, Edo
Sefer. Yes, in Chukah. Edo Sefer.
Okay.
So why is there a doubt in the first the kid's father came to correct me, and I said, no, I'm
sorry. So it's a degusha, which means the reason so easy to start the Rav Mordechai is, why is there a vav? Let's find a place over here, if he's over here. Why is there a vav, a dot, what page is it again? Because on page 42. Why is it? So the dad is here. Here's the reason why. The dad makes the vav basically into a shvan noch, in addition. In other words, you're really doing two things with the vav. The vav is serving as the end of the letter hey, hav, and then it's also the beginning of its own syllable, vos. If there would not be a dot in the vav,
yeah,
then it would be ha vos. Don't connect the hey to the vav. The dot forces you, demands of you, connect me backwards. Havos. The vav should havos. The vav basically, it's telling you to repeat the vav, but don't repeat the vav. It's telling you that the vav should be the conclusion of the first syllable of the hey.
No,
but you have to be careful. You don't.
Yeah,
do, that's no good.
Got it right.
It's delicate.
Sort of.
Right. So a lot of people ignore this because
it's not havos, it's
havos, havos, havos. A lot of people today ignore this because we're not, we don't have that. I don't believe that ability.
Who really was very mocked with Rabbi Lichtenstein. It drove everybody nuts. He did every shvah noach, pronounced it when he lay. That's why it took him an hour and 45 minutes to do the Megillah. No noise was allowed.
An hour and 45 minutes to do the Megillah, you're not going to get anyone to come.
He came out of the Megillah with the head spin.
If you do more than 22 minutes today, you're in a lot of trouble.
He was satisfied with the way he pronounced it.
Especially with that fasting on the Megillah system.
Havos. Today, a lot of these things are not makron, because you're going to stop being makron on these things, there's no end to it. You know, and a lot of people, you have to have a skill. Most people don't have that dexterity in their mouth to be able to bring out these nuances. But there are people that do have that koyach. It's just a gift. It's either you got it or you don't, right? But that's why there's a dot, and that's why this word is extremely confusing. That the dot is to connect the vav back to the hey. It's a degusha, and the second vav is nothing more than a vowel. It's mole, so it's havos. Okay, let's go back to where we came from, back to the discussion. It's really good. Learn a little refresher course, the Middle East, on how to read some of these difficult words. And what is the meaning of the word oshesha? What is this word? It's like a tongue twister for me, this word, oshesha. I have a hard time articulating words. Oshesha, it means it's dimmed, to be dimmed. You dim the lights. My eyes have Ashisha mikahas eini. My eyes are no longer 20/20. My eyes, I don't even see them as 20/20. It's a matter of my eyesight is not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't have that clarity of vision because of anger. Let's go further. Asika b'cholut
saroi. By the way, the word there.
Yeah.
Is lantern.
Right, I saw that.
Yeah, lantern. Yeah,
Rashi. The word is the lantern. So I guess it means a light, but a dull, not a nightlight, a nightlight, not a light that gives you clarity. You don't want too much light, because if there's too much light, then you can't fall asleep. Right? You want. It's amazing. You ever try to cover your eyes? You know, yeah. In the room, you put on one of those things on your eyes. It's really on the airplane. It's really amazing.
A dull lantern
is supposed to be a dim light. So my eyes that are meant to bring me an abundance of light, it unfortunately, David is saying, has been dimmed. So the translation is dimmed. Ah shesha, it has been dimmed. Well, skip a word. Ani my eyes backwards. Mikas, because I'm in a state of anger. What's the anger? Who am I angry at? Myself. I'm angry at myself for being so foolish to do an avera. When a person does an avera, he's angry at himself. Asuka. Asuka is also a hard word to pronounce and to translate. He means old. I'm worn out.
Like
Atik yomin. Days ancient. Ancient. I feel like I'm ancient history. I belong in a museum. Why do you feel like that? The person that's vibrant, fresh. You don't feel like you're old. You're current. You're with it. I'm part of the new generation. I'm part of the youngsters. Yeah, I'm not part of the old fashioned, the old fogies from time immemorial. I'm here today. I'm current. Osaka, I feel like I'm old. I'm outdated. Okay, I feel like I'm a relic of the past. I'm no longer relevant to society. Becholut soroi, due to all of my troubles. When a person is weighted down because of his soros, he feels like he's no longer relevant in this world. He's nothing more than an old relic of the past. He belongs in a museum. That's a terrible thing. A person to have such an attitude in life, if he's finished. David over here is describing that we say this every single day. Well, it's unbelievable. It says over here. Every single person David, we say David over here is saying over here to David that my eyesight has been diminished. And I'm already irrelevant. Look at the mitzvah. So the student will finish mitzvah David. Pasik ches in the mitzvah is David. Oh shesha nikas. I always have a hard time saying that word. It's amazing. I cannot get that word out of my mouth. Oh shesha nikas mecharoin ho'oyev balu einai. From the charoin of the enemy, my eyes have been worn out. So mitzvah is David appears to understand the kas. Not like what I told you. The cast is my enemies. My enemies are furious. My enemies are in hot pursuit. My enemies are full of passion. And because of their cast against me, I'm always on the defense. I always have to watch my steps. I have to guard myself. And that has caused me to become worn out. Is that what it means? That's what he seems to be saying. Mecharoin ho'oye, from the anger, the fury of my enemy, they're the ones that are in the state of cast. And because of their charoin, I have to guard myself, and that has caused my eyesight to become worn out. Ah, sika. Now, is this a? Now, here we go back to the trend of the words. See, this word over here also, it's ah sika. Same exact principle over here. Here, the ayin has a nese, which means it's a tnuah gidoila, which means that the sof automatically becomes a shvana. This is very interesting. Because see, when it comes to, when it comes to the word asaf is usually a shvanoch. Because asaf, there's no dot. Any letter that has a dot automatically is a shvanoch. So when you have asaf, which could have a dot, one of the few letters that can have a dot, and there is no dot, that would automatically indicate 90% of the time that it's a shvanoch, if it's coming after with a shvanoch. So you would think it would be oska, os. You think that the suf goes, but being that the ayin has a mesek,
yeah,
that automatically separates the ayin from the saf, and that makes the saf into a very unusual sound. It makes a saf in the middle of a word into a shvana. That's not common at all. To have a saf, not a tav. A tav is always going to be a shvana. Whenever you have a tav, this letter with the dot, it's always going to be no, like a new word, and you pronounce it as if you're starting fresh. But a saf, there's no dot with a shva, that would usually be a shva noch. It would be the conclusion of a prior syllable. But not in this case. This is the exception. Because here, underneath the previous letter of the ayin, there is a mesay. There is a little line which gives the ayin its own power, its own uniqueness. Nothing else should join with the ayin. So it turns into aw, and now it's si-ko. Si-ko. And what does this mean? It means ancient. Mitzudas David, osika, bavur tsorosai, because of my difficulties in life, keha eni, my eyes are dull, ki ilu nishyashma bezoiken, I'm an old man.
There's another rule by Daish from in the middle of a word, there's two letters and both have the shva.
The second one.
So the first one is always a shvana.
Not always. No, not always. Not always. Like in the previous. Not always. Okay. Another time. There's a lot on this. There's a lot of chiddushim on this stuff. But over here, let's get the translation. We'll have it's getting slightly late. Bavur tsarasaikea einai kilu nishyashna mizekin. I'm an old mate. Now, over here, it's very important what he does over here. This is a very important thing. The Mitsuda stuff is telling us over here that this word of atik is going back on the eyes. If you would not look at the Mitsuda stuff, you would not necessarily say, just like when it came to the previous one, when it came to the tears. When it came to the tears, it was not necessarily going back on the tears. Here as well, it's only because of the Mitsudas and Rashi that we learn that it's going back on the tears, on the eyes. That the eyes are, the wetness is from the eyes. He's doing exactly the same thing over here. He's telling us that this part of the pasuk is referring to the eyes, even though it does not say so in the pasuk. That my eyes feel old. Bavur tsarosai, because of my difficulties, keho eini, my eye is dull. Ki'ilu nisyashma bezoikin, as if it's old, way past its years. The imkain die, v'chol hatsaros, hadifra Hashem, enough tsaros, asher kvar ovru olai. Rashi, very quickly, it's very late. Rashi Pasuches says, o shesha, l'shoin ashoshis, a lantern. Ayin means a light that's dull. Ayin sheme oiro keha. An eye that's light, its sight, its power of vision is weak. V'dayim lokim hu royeh derech zuchuchis shekenegin einav. It looks like you're linked to glasses. You're linked to a glass that's like, you know, not clear glass. You don't see it ba'asplak ma'ariya ha'me'ira. You're looking through it through a cloud. You're looking through it through some type of hefsek. U'menachem perishol l'shon rikavon, it looks rotting. A different interpretation, kumo va'atzamai osheshu, different word. My bones are rotting. V'chein kol loshon osh, a moth. He learns the word osheshatz, a moth that causes the garment to rot. Osika nisyashna, it's old. V'nizdakna eini, has become weakened. V'chiyas or with a lack of light. V'nachim chiroyim v'yatek mishon hahara, a different interpretation which means to uproot. V'yatek mishon hahara, that he removed himself. My eyes have been removed from their sockets. My eyes are no longer functioning the way they should. They're no longer functional in the degree that it used to be. Behold, Sarai, Beshwil, Sarah, Shemit, Sayrimi, because of all the difficulties. Okay, we have to maybe do a little bit more cloudy. Next time it's very late, we have to stop now, take a very short break, and then we'll go. Question, I said, do you want to dive into it afterwards?
Yes.
Because then we're going to have to. We have to learn a little bit longer because the earliest minute was at 12:08. So we have to have a longer shift. So I want to warn you. And anyone has to leave by Makolak Avod. No one has to be held hostage here. We have to have a minion. We're going to have a minion.
You're coming up? Yes.
No. You have to go downstairs. So you'll keep track.
You're not so wrong. This is what it says here.
Paul, thank you very much for the gift. I know it's a lot of Brazilians. And
sorry, we couldn't do better.
Thank you very, very much.
Business is not as easy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very, very much.
Wouldn't be surprised if some more dribbles. These are hidden. So,
okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Tomorrow is
well, you know what I did?
We had a great time at the party, his party.
So what did she say?
It was a very patriotic atmosphere.
Any special guests? Any good politicians?
Conlon came. Colin Yeager came. And Joe Borelli from Staten Island, city councilman. He's on the. I told him. I hear you on the radio all the time. I said, you got to get her on the show there. Anyway, Rabbi Goldwater.